Welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, the show designed to help make middle age your prime time of life by defying the notion that once you reach 40, 50, or even 60 years old, your crowning achievements are all behind you. Regardless of whether you're just approaching 40 or are firmly entrenched in your middle years, it's time to launch your very own personal journey toward a joyful and purpose-filled second half of life. Each week, host Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, will discuss the challenges common to middle age and help guide you to a brighter tomorrow. Now, here's Roy.
Well, here we are deep into January, and the glow of the holidays is over and summer vacation is a long way off. And if you admire your work, it may feel good to get back into your normal routine, which for most of us at middle age is all about work and career. But if you don't like what you're doing for a living, what a terrible burden. Since our jobs take up most of our waking hours, it makes absolutely no sense to spend all that time doing what we don't want to do and just looking forward to next summer's vacation, which goes by all too fast, and then we have to start all over again. So ask yourself this question. Has my job become a drag, draining energy and enjoyment from my life, hurting my relationships, and pulling my entire attitude down? Is one of your New Year's resolutions to quit your present job and find a new one? You just can't see yourself suffering through another year, heck, not even another month, stuck in your present position? And wouldn't you love to walk into your boss's office this very day and tell him or her, take this job and shove it? But hold on for a moment. You might feel great walking out the door today, but will you regret it tomorrow? And my first guest today, Dr. Greg Marcus, is here to offer some tips to make sure that you're not sorry and in a worse situation emotionally after you quit. And as you may recall, Dr. Greg was a featured guest on our October 13th program, and you can listen to any past programs at any time. They're all stored for you. But back then, he told us how to bust the corporate idol, reducing hours, accomplishing more, and enjoying life more along the way by revising your priorities from company first to people first. And today, we'll talk about creating your very own exit plan blueprint if you intend to change jobs now or in the near-term future. And to refresh your memory, Greg Marcus, Ph.D., is author of the acclaimed book, Busting Your Corporate Idol, Self-Help for the Chronically Overworked. He has a Ph.D. from MIT in molecular biology and spent 10 years in successful marketing career on Silicon Valley in the genomics industry. He left the corporate world and gained success as an author, speaker, and consultant, and also now has time to be an active stay-at-home dad. And he's founder of Idol Buster Coaching Institute, with a charter to help others accomplish the same life balance that he has attained. And hello, Dr. Greg, and it's indeed an honor to have you back on Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
Well, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me back.
Well, let's begin with the negative. What are some of the most common mistakes people make when they quit their present jobs, especially when they do it on impulse?
You know, one of the biggest mistakes that people make is thinking that somehow a new job is going to solve all their problems.
That's very true, isn't it?
You know, they feel unappreciated. They feel like they're not taken seriously. They feel like they don't have a career path. And a lot of those things may be true, but they're also feelings. And those same types of situations, we can find ourselves again in the next job.
Yes, and who's really responsible for your desired career path? It's certainly not your employer, it's you. You need to know where you want to go in your life and in your career rather than just leaving it up to someone else.
That's right. A lot of people think that, well, if I just do a good job and I put my head down and work, someone's going to come up and tap us on the shoulder and and hand us the big office and say, well, you've done such a great job. We're going to give you, you know, something more. And they will give you something more. They'll give you more work to do, but they're not going to give you a career path. That's something we need to manage ourselves.
Yeah, from personal experience, I find one of the biggest mistakes people make is to quit job based on a temporary frustration. Maybe you were passed over for a promotion or a maybe the company reorganized and you don't feel like you're as well positioned as you were before, and you just quit, or maybe you don't like your current boss or whatever. You quit the job and then you end up taking the next one that is far worse than what you left because you haven't really given proper thought to what you really want and what you're really looking for.
That's right. That is that's an excellent point. That's another one of the most common mistakes. It's very similar. It's, you know, bosses come and go. Reorgs happen.
Yeah.
And there certainly are times when it merits resigning. But just doing it on an impulse or because you don't like someone is not, you know, may not work out the way you thought it would if you don't properly plan.
Yes, years ago I resigned a job because the company wanted to relocate our office from the Philadelphia area. I just bought a new home and I loved it, and they were going to move us to Harrisburg. That wasn't the only thing. They'd also reorganized, so I felt like I was less really in the center of things in the job than I had been. But I quit and ended up having to move to New Jersey, and I took a job I despised, which only lasted about a little over a year until, you know, we mutually parted ways because I wasn't really suited for the job and it didn't suit my fancy. So that was the dumbest thing I think I've ever done in my career. But
you know, life takes these turns where things happen that we don't plan and can't anticipate. You know, I'm sympathetic. You bought this house in Philly. You liked it there, but it's not... You know, the going to Harrisburg wasn't something you wanted to do, but in, you know, as you say, in hindsight, maybe that was would have been a better move.
Yeah, it's as you point out somewhere in your book that so many things in life really you can't control, but you can control obviously your reaction to them. But there's a lot of things that happen in the career that you know are more by chance or by someone else's initiative, especially if you work for a large company.
That's right. So one of the things that I recommend in the exit plan blueprint is really writing down all of the reasons why you want to quit. You know,
yeah,
there should be at least three. And it's like, well, you know, I like my house. Well, if there's a relocation involved, what are your possibilities for getting a good house in the new community?
Yeah, and what is the possibilities of staying, finding another job in your present community that you like and not having to sell a house anyway.
That's right. That is, you know, it's not an easy decision, but it's taking that time to plan and thinking about where you're going to go next. Now, I think a mistake people make when they choose not to quit is they think, well, if I don't have my next job, I shouldn't quit this one. And that's not always true.
Always.
But if you're in a situation where you don't have to quit, thinking about what comes next is pretty important.
Yeah, the only time I would say that somebody really should quit is without something else in mind is if you have definite plans, solid plans for what you're seeking, but also obviously if it's affecting your health or your relationships or whatever, the stress is just so bad that you can't take it anymore, then there's no reason to hang around and risk a stroke or a heart attack or something like that.
Stress is definitely one reason. Sometimes there's legal reasons to quit or ethical reasons where you think that, you know, people are saying, oh, well, this will be just fine and just go ahead and do it and just don't send any emails or write anything down. That's a big red flag.
Yeah.
And there are times, even if you don't, you know, you where you wouldn't want to do that. Or you might have a big financial cushion. You know, if you have 9 months of savings in the bank and it's a good job market, you have a strong network, then resigning to figure out what your next steps are could be a very appropriate.
Yes, that's such a key step. When, unless you're laid off or, you know, forced to resign, it's so important that you have that cushion. So in effect, you're buying yourself time to do the adequate, relaxed job search, and not madly reviewing the posted jobs and you know, taking the next thing that becomes available simply from financial necessity, because that can be a real horrible experience, I know.
Yeah, and we've all been in that rebound relationship where you break up with somebody and just go out with the first person who comes along.
Yes.
Sometimes jobs can be like that, too. You get your rebound job and trying to avoid getting in that situation. So I think everybody should know how many months they could go paying the mortgage if they didn't earn any money.
Yeah, that's obviously if your spouse works and you're a two-income family and you survive on one income, which is a better situation, obviously, than no. But it's really important that you develop that transition budget. And I find from personal experience, you always should plan for more time than you think you'll need, because it almost always works out that way. Not always, but you need to avoid that panic situation, because it's, in effect, I call it like buying time for the real marketing campaign to get yourself right in where you really want to be.
That's a good way to think about it.
And first of all, of course, taking stock of where you really want to be, because you're not going to get to your, no matter how good your roadmap, you better know what your destination is in terms of what you really seek.
That's right. And it doesn't need to be, you know, I think there's a temptation to kind of get focused on these, well, where do I want to be in 5 years? No, I want to be the vice president, or I want to have my own company, or I want to be this and that. And that's, you know, who knows where we're going to be in 5 years?
Yeah, I've had perfect jobs, and then the company got taken over.
That's right. That's right. So you think you're just fine, and then something changes. So
yeah.
I think going back to your priorities and values, what's important to you? Is it having a good a job where you don't have a lot of stress, and you have the freedom to leave and coach a child's basketball game?
Yeah.
Or you have the freedom to, you know, you don't have to work on weekends.
Yeah, I like the point of it where you make about one of the biggest mistakes people make is not letting go. And you also say that busyness is not the same thing as effectiveness, and you can get so wrapped up in the, you know, the day-to-day of your career that you're missing out on so many other things that are important in life.
That's right. You know, when I was working 90 hours a week, I was just frantic going from task to task to task, and I was very busy, and I was the day was just one diving save after another.
Oh, and that's always a lot of fun when you're constantly doing saves instead of doing creative, positive things. You're just reacting.
It's unfortunately a trap that many people fall into. But by cutting back and bringing more balance to my life, I became much more effective at work. And similarly, if you're thinking about leaving your current position and you're in one of these constantly firefighting, constantly making diving saves, it's very hard to take that time to figure out what you want to do next. So I
very definitely
recommend to people to find ways to cut back on their, you know, if you're thinking of quitting anyway, maybe start by not working weekends, or start by, I'm going to shut off the computer at 7 o'clock or at 8 o'clock. You know, it's better than quitting, and you'll find that you become more rested and relaxed, and it's a good step you can take before your health gets to a point where you have to quit or you have to take a leave of absence.
Well, let's talk about creating that exit plan blueprint. What are some of the items that you should consider before you quit your job?
Well, one of the things to think about is, I already talked about the reasons why you might want to quit. I think it's also important to talk about what are some of the roadblocks to quitting.
Oh, yeah.
You know, sometimes it's fear about getting another job. Sometimes it's guilt that, I'm going to be letting down my teammates. Sometimes it's pride. It's like, hey, I'm not going to let this defeat me. And understanding those dynamics, you can step back and look at things more rationally.
Yes, that's true. And it's such a relief sometimes when you step away from those firefighting type situations. Like I was in a company that was failing at one point, and the day that, you know, they the ownership changed hands and I was let go. It was like a huge monkey off my back because just you know, constantly worried about how we're going to get through the next month's reports and do this and that. And
sometimes, yeah, that can be a big relief. When I was the one time I was laid off from a job, I was so excited. I went out for a hamburger and milkshake, and you know, people in the office, they're crying, and oh my God, I can't believe you're gone. And
yeah.
I was like, yeah, it's really too bad. Okay, I'm off for my milkshake now.
Yeah, that's great if you're, again, if you have that confidence in yourself and you're not afraid that you can't find another job. And it always goes back really to who you think you are and what you know you can accomplish and what value you can add to somebody else, because that's where it all starts. And, you know, if you're looking at one ad and you don't really have a firm confidence in what you have to offer somebody, the one ads are pretty scary.
And one transitional type position that can be good if you're kind of feeling nervous about what you might do next is to think about contracting.
Yeah.
Or maybe you could turn your current position into a contracting position where you'd be working, you know, as a part-time contractor. You'd have some income and some of the
yeah.
relationships and skills you had, you could still use those. But that would open up a lot of time and take a lot off your plate to help you figure out what to do next.
Yeah, are many companies willing to do that kind of thing? I guess it depends on how essential you are to the employer, whether they'd be willing to consider something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the most common solution, but it has benefits for the employer, too, because
yeah.
as a contractor, they don't have to pay your benefits.
Yeah.
They get to hang on to your skills and value add. And this can be good if you've been with a company for a long time and you have a decent relationship with your manager.
Yes, and you can also
manager,
help train your replacement.
Accommodate that because nobody wants to hire.
No.
It is really a pain. And so
yeah, but it would be great to have the predecessor around to help train the successor as well if you're on a contract basis. So.
Right. Or you might get a contract for another company.
Yes.
Start quietly asking around about doing
yeah.
some contract work, which the other company doesn't need to make a full commitment to you. And you might want to change careers entirely, but it's a way of, again, keeping some income coming in while you explore your other options.
Yeah, yeah, that's the way to buy time. And like you say, if you're part-time contracting, you also have time to be doing you know, the research and groundwork to find that job that you really want, or maybe launch the business you want to launch, or whatever you want to do. Well, then you're coaching.
It can be a very good option, especially if it's a two-income family,
yes.
and the other and your spouse has insurance benefits.
Oh, yeah.
Because
right.
as a contractor, you're paid hourly, and often your hourly rate can be 150% of what the equivalent rate you'd be getting as a salaried employee.
Yes.
So you can make a lot of cash in a short period of time as a contractor.
Yeah. Well, I guess that would be one of the exit blueprint strategies. You need to figure out how you're going to handle it, some of the ancillary issues, like where you're going to get insurance or obviously what pension you might be forfeiting and that kind of thing that you need to take care of or address in advance before you just quit that job.
That's right. There's a element of the blueprint, which is, you know, I call financial planning. It's thinking
yeah.
about your benefits, you know, whether they're retirement, medical, insurance.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think right now, I know the Affordable Care Act is politically a bit of a minefield, but it does
yeah.
offer people the ability to quit their job and then buy affordable health care.
No, that is
more affordable than you could get prior to that.
Yeah,
so that opens up an additional avenue of freedom for people.
Yes, that's true. Well, in your coaching practice with Idle Buster Coaching Institute, I'm sure you've worked with a number of clients who quit their present jobs suddenly. Can you give us an example of one or two who successfully landed on their feet, and maybe someone who encountered a long and difficult transition process, and what was the difference?
Well, I haven't, you know, I have a funny story to tell. It's someone who hired me because this person wanted to quit their job. They were working all the time, working nights, working weekends, fighting with their spouse. And when I started working with them and we got the hours under control, we learned how to manage the politics a little better. This person suddenly realized, you know what, I don't want to quit my job. If I don't, I'm not working nights, I'm not working weekends. I'm being recognized as an effective person. And so they actually decided to stay because they could accomplish a lot of what they wanted where they work presently.
Yeah, that's so true. I think so many people are quit to write off their present employers based on some short-term frustration. And, you know, one thing that's interesting, people complain about how they're overworked and how, you know, they're tired all the time and stressed out. And I wonder how many of those people actually talk to their boss about it and ask for some relief. You know, so many people just suffer silently and then eventually quit. Doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
No, it doesn't. And it depends a lot on the employer. I mean, this particular client had been speaking with the boss and got a lot of eye rolling and I'm really busy too. But what I taught her to do, and I actually have a tool to help people do this, is figure out what motivated the boss.
Yeah.
And it turned out this person's boss wanted to shine all the time and wanted to be the star. So instead of saying, hey, I have too much to do, I don't want to do this presentation on Friday, they learned to say, hey, I could do the presentation on Friday, but if I wait until the following Friday's meeting, I can get A, B, and C, and we can really hit this out of the park, and it's going to reflect well on the whole team.
Yeah, that's perfect. Instead of being considered a whiner and not wanting to do anything, you come up with a counter proposal that's more reasonable for you, but also benefits your boss and the company, and that's really a win-win situation if you can do that.
That's right, because it is, you know, there's a lot of, you know, the boss may not even be a bad person, but they have certain things that motivate them. And if they feel like, oh, this has to be done right away because that's how I think it's going to get me what I need, that's what they're going to push for. So it's incumbent on us to know what the boss really wants and find a way to deliver that so that you don't have to stay up all night putting together something which probably isn't going to be all that helpful anyway.
Yes. I think it oftentimes you can actually gain respect from your boss if you learn how to say no in the proper way, say no with a but, you know, I can do this and that and maybe propose a better idea or something rather than just, you know, constantly whining that you're overworked and you're not – you're overwhelmed and you don't really have any ideas and solutions that accommodate what the boss wants to do as well.
That's a great point, and it is all about learning how to say no. And, you know, a lot of people feel like they can't say no or they don't want to say no or they don't want to let somebody down. And, you know, if you're saying yes to work all the time, we're saying no to something else in our life, even if it's only our own health and peace of mind. Or we're, saying no to other people we could be spending time with.
And that's, when you think about it, that's just robbing life of what life is all about and what it should be all about. And furthermore, if you're constantly accepting more than you can handle, you're probably not doing a very good job at those projects anyway. If you're overwhelmed, obviously, and you're stressed out and you're working every night until 10 o'clock, you're probably not doing a very good job at it anyway.
No, and that is almost certainly true. And when I was in that place where I was working all the time, I would not have wanted to hear that, and I would not have believed it.
Yeah.
But if you look, because we all think that, well, that's true for other people, but I know that I'm doing a good job because I'm putting all this time in. But that's, you know, I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings, but that is an illusion.
Yeah.
We're actually not doing a good job, and we can do a better job. Or even if we're doing an okay job, we can do a kick-butt job if we do a great job if we become more focused and more rested.
Yeah, that's for sure. Let's say you want to get a start on cutting back your work and you don't want to quit your present job. You're not thoroughly disgusted with the whole thing, but What are a couple of small steps that you, I know you can't change overnight from being completely overwhelmed to working 40 hours a week and enjoying life to the fullest, but what are, say, an initial step or two that you could take to somewhat reduce the pressure of and make life a little more livable?
Well, here's one thing that people can do, and this also can help with the job transition, and that's doing more networking. A lot of people, they work through lunch or they work up until 7 or 8 at night, and networking is how people find new jobs, and it's also how you can create allies within your current company. So if you start going to lunch with other people and you don't talk about work necessarily, or even if you do a little bit, you start making connections, and that can help you find your next job, or it might help you find an ally who can tell you about something that's coming down the road, which if you're not prepared for, could slam you with a whole bunch of work unexpectedly.
Yes. Yeah, and it's it's so important that we have allies in our jobs, because nobody does a very good job trying to be the martyr and trying to do everything themselves.
Yes, and it is hard to say no to work. It's hard for people to say no, but it's like I was saying before, when you say yes to something, you're saying no to something else. So it's finding ways to say yes to having lunch with friends and colleagues at work, or people who you maybe don't see every day, someone from another department, or someone who you used to work with who you haven't seen in a couple of years and they're at another company. Call them up and invite them to lunch and say, hey, I'm just looking. I want to, you know, get my network going again. I haven't seen you in a while. And it's a way of getting your name out there.
Yeah, that's right. Well, in the time remaining, tell us a little about your new book, Busting the Corporate Idol, Self-Help for the Chronically Overworked. What's the significance of the title, and what is a corporate idol?
Well, I, as I alluded to earlier, I used to work, I was at a time in my life when I was working 90 hours a week.
Wow, and I can't even imagine that.
It was, I had a dream job, my wife, two young kids. I never got to see, but I kept working more and more. And then things turned very dark. There were some setbacks at work. My grandmother died. And it was on Yom Kippur, the Jewish Day of Atonement, when I was reflecting on my life and thinking, what can I do differently? I had this realization that I had turned my employer into a false idol.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm thinking, well, geez, you know, idol, that's like that old statue worshiping thing, but I realized it's like, no, I had made my employer the most important thing in my life, and because that's where my priorities were, I just kept making decisions every day that pushed out the rest of my life.
Yeah, why should you sacrifice to, quote, the company as opposed to the people who are important in your life? It just makes absolutely no sense, as you point out.
And it's that word sacrifice. You know, we see at the company meeting, hey, and we want to thank Greg, who sacrificed his vacation time to help get this product launch out. And, well, yeah, I did. It was a sin. Their family sacrificed. And, you know, there's just no need for that.
No.
As I cut back my work hours, I became even more effective at work. So in a sense, it's like a metaphor of busting your corporate idol is saying, hey, I'm not going to let the company be the most important thing in my life.
No, and that's the primary message of your book, I guess, is how to get off that treadmill and of work first and find balance. And what I like so much in reading the reviews is it's a lot of practical suggestions, and you have exercises that people can do, so it's not just a bunch of theory. It's something that people can put to work on and improve their lives and improve the balance of their lives.
That's right. I interviewed dozens of people for the book and their stories about their work and their life, and I started finding certain patterns about things that worked for people or things that didn't, and I very systematically looked at what are the things that cause people to work too much.
Yeah.
And I broke them into three categories, and I talk about each category, and then I offer solutions for each category so that in a step-by-step way, we can start putting people first, which is going to make us healthier, happier, and more effective at work.
Boy, that sure is a great prescription for a better life for you and those you love as well. And what's the best place that people can preview and purchase your book?
You know, I think the easiest place is just to go to Amazon, Amazon.com.
Yes, there's some very positive reviews on Amazon. I know that people have really liked your book.
Yeah, they're almost all five-star reviews, and it's really it's a life-changing book. It was life-changing for me to experience it, to write it, and it's just so I'm so grateful that I can help so many other people who are just in like that situation that I was, and help them get out of it and get their life back.
That's exactly what we're seeking to do here with this program, is interview life-changing people who have experienced the good and the bad and have learned the lessons and are wanting to share those experiences with others. And I think your book does an excellent job at that. And as we begin the new year, you are maybe highly frustrated at work, maybe even to the point of wanting to quit. And I speak from experience. Don't do so until you've thoroughly researched your options and prepared your very own exit plan blueprint. And most importantly, before you begin searching for your next job or launching that new venture, precisely who are you, what is most important to you, who do you most want to serve, and what do you generally want to accomplish for the rest of your life? And those are more important, obviously, than the specific job that you'll be in next week. And no one builds a quality building or a life without a blueprint, so get to work on yours. And from personal experience, I guarantee you will not build a quality life or a career by sacrificing yourself to the company above all else. And in the long term, service to others and relationships are what counts, not job title. And I'd also recommend that you go to Dr. Gregg's website. And what's that? Give him that website address.
It's very easy. The best way to get there is to go to Dr. Gregg Marcus, like the Roman Marcus, M-A-R-C-U-S, .com, and that will take you to my website.
I see, and I know you also offer a free 30-minute strategy session, a one-on-one session to somebody that is interested in changing focus in their lives.
That's right. I help people who are kind of feeling stuck and fed up and wanting to get more control of their life. I offer coaching services. And for your listeners, Roy, people can just go to drgregmarcus.com and sign up for a free strategy session. And we'll get on the phone and we'll talk about exactly what's going on in your situation, and I'll help you come up with solutions.
Yeah, that's great. And for those of you who feel trapped at middle age, essentially sleepwalking through life, why not preview my book as well, A Midlife Challenge Wake Up by Roy Richards, and you can preview that on my website, middleagerenewal.com, or you can get it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. And in my book, you'll find a comprehensive roadmap to take you from where you are to where you want to be, not just in career, but in relationships and later on in retirement, service to the community, all those things that we should be concerned about. And heck, why not purchase both of our books? And thank you so much, Dr. Gregg Marcus, for returning, and best of success in 2015.
Well, thank you, and the same to you, Roy. All the best to you in 2015.
And let's get out of those jobs that we don't like, but maybe you won't have to quit. Maybe you just need a re-examination of yourself and a redesign along with your employer, and get so that someone's paying you to have a good time. I think that's a great objective for all of us. Well, except perhaps for you avid skiers, at this point of winter, most of us in the northern part of the U.S. and in Canada are pretty sick and tired of the cold weather and snow. How about a tropical vacation? You say you don't have the money or time. That's okay. Our next guest, Maria Danley, is here to offer you a tropical vacation right now for free. She's here to tell you how you can transport yourself mentally to the Caribbean, feel the warm sand under your feet, smell fragrant breezes, and experience the hot sun on your skin. And better yet, your trip will take you only about 10 minutes, but you'll return feeling refreshed and revitalized, almost like the wrong thing, and you won't have to go through airport security. And skeptics, don't tune us out. This really works, and Maria is here to explain why. And Maria Danley is a certified medical intuitive, a transformational life coach, and an energy healer. And she has over 20 years' experience in health, wellness, and transformation. She uses her intuition to help others turn their thoughts, feelings, and energy around. And she hosts her own popular weekly internet radio program on Voice of America, Legendary Leaders, Answering the Higher Calling. And she's also appeared in featured segments on CNBC, the Nightly Business Report, NBC News, the BBC, and many more. And hello, Maria. It's indeed an honor to have you.
Well, hello, Roy. It's an honor to be here. Thank you so much.
Well, how in the world are we able to return from an imaginary vacation feeling just as refreshed and revitalized like we were on the real thing? What's the secret to that?
Well, I love your buildup on this, and I like the way you say, how in the world? Well, I guess the answer is because it's not in the world. If we were going there physically, boy, I'd like to just get a big airplane and bring all of us along. That would really be fun. But sometimes we can't afford them with the time and money to do it. The trick here, or the secret here, Roy, is that the brain, and this is a secret of neuroscience, the brain does not know the difference between what it experiences in daily life and what it imagines. So when you go on meditations, or you do guided visualizations, and you open up your imagination, you open up your senses fully, you're triggering a type of chemistry in the brain. There's a neurobiology that gets triggered, a neurochemistry gets triggered, but it starts shifting your experience. And an example of that is when you go to the movies. You go to the movies and you sit there in the dark and you're watching actors, and you get all into the feeling of it, and you're literally triggering that experience in your body.
Yeah. Well, please serve as our travel agent for our tropical mind vacation. What's the best time and place for us to depart, and how do we launch our vacation?
Well, it's a recording. I actually have two recordings that I have as a gift for everyone out there. And you go to yourtropicvacation.com. That's Y-O-U-R, and then tropic, yeah. Not tropical, T-R-O-P-I-C, vacation.com. Yeah. And you sign up, and you'll get the recordings. The first will tell you how you're going to be getting the most out of your vacation experience.
Yeah.
And then the second is you actually are in a meditative state, or a guided visualization. You get very quiet, and you'll do this in your mind, but you'll be triggering a lot of that benefit in your body.
Boy, that sounds
emotions.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, a tropical mental vacation is nice, but at middle age, a lot of us face much bigger challenges. Can you give us a couple of examples of real-life maladies that you've helped people to overcome over the years? I know you have 20 years of experience doing this kind of thing.
Yes. Well, maladies. My head was in the tropics. I certainly, people have come when they've had cancer, or they've had lumps. And what I will do is I help take them inside the body, and when they see what is in the malady, for example, and they can start to turn it around, the body will heal itself. So I would say healings of cancer, healings of pretty much anything, depression, chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia. Some of them, I have one client that I'm still working with, and she healed herself, but I'm kind of polishing up some of those effects from her arthritis. She's really something. The arthritis cure, her name is Barbara Allen. For anyone who really does has crippling arthritis, she can help you to do that. But that's what I do.
But you've also helped people like business people whose businesses are lagging, and people that have had bad romantic relationships and that type of thing as well, haven't you?
Yes, well, I've been meditating for a number of years, and there's a story where that happened to me in the 80s when a friend came for tea, and she said, you get so much information in meditation from your spirit guides. Could you ask your spirit guides to talk to my spirit guides and get some information from me about my husband and my son? And I said, well, I'll try. And I went into meditation, and all this information started coming in, and I said, this is what's going on with your husband, and your son is a teenager, he's upset with you, and et cetera.
Yeah.
And so I learned that I have this ability to talk to the higher self when I'm doing a reading for people. And what I've learned from that is anything, if they're having difficulty in money, relationships, health, any issue, the higher self will tell me what's at the root of the issue. And then I tell them what is at the root, but then I also have the energy, I have the wherewithal to show them how to unwind that and heal it.
So is there hope for those of us who feel stuck or trapped that by negative midlife circumstances, maybe a dead-end job, failing business, soured relationship? Is it possible to rewire the brain after many years of negative thinking and frustration? And how do we get started?
I love you saying that, Roy, and it's absolutely true. I like to say that this is a time in life that, and I would agree with you, can be the best time, but it does mean rewiring the brain. That we can have, so we can have a new beginning and a second chance at life. And is there hope? Absolutely, there is. We are all, as human beings, carrying all the baggage, the wiring, the programming that we picked up age 0 to 7.
Isn't
it's in the brain, it's in the body.
It's with your parents and grandparents, people who loved you and wanted the best for you, probably implanted a lot of the negative wiring that's still bothering you, people of middle age today. That's fascinating.
Well, they did, but you see, they were, well, at the time, they were victims as well, meaning that they picked it up from their parents and their grandparents, and so we do have that in our blood.
Yeah.
And it's not hard to rewire the brain. The beauty, we know this now in neuroscience, is that the brain is always growing new neural networks.
Well,
and
good.
If you will help, it will do that through imagination and opening up the senses. So that's what I do. I help get to the root of the issues, rewire the brain, and get on with the real life that you want to be living, where you have the most freedom at this time.
Yeah, well, what's the best way for listeners to get in touch to learn more about your background and your coaching and channeling services with the higher powers and all those other wonderful things you do?
Well, thank you. Thank you, Roy. You can go to my website, is mariadamley.com. MariaDanly. There's no E in Danley. D is in David, ANLY.com. And all the information is there.
Yeah.
And you can sign up for higher self reading there. But please get your free gift. And that is going to be, once again, at yourtropicvacation.com.
Oh, yeah.
It's not really a website. It's a place to sign up for this. And then my show, my radio show, is every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And it's a lot of information I'm saying here, but for all of you who would like to have a taste of what I do when I'm channeling, I offer a free hour of channeling where I talk to the people's higher selves, and you can all join me on that free call. It starts 10 minutes after the end of my radio show, 2:10 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
But if we can't make your radio show on Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, I think most of those are archived, aren't you, so you can listen later?
Absolutely. And a lot of people say they like listening to it in podcast form, and I tell stories about Merlin and Arthur, ones that are very inspiring and great guests. It's a fun show. I'd love to have your crowd come along.
Yeah, we love to recommend sites like that and things that will really benefit people of middle age, because the worst thing to have happen at middle age is to have that brain negative thinking keep coming up that says I'm not good enough and I'm never going to change my life, and you know, all those negative thoughts that keep holding us back from achieving a wonderful second half of life that everyone is created to deserve and really deserves it.
You're so right about that. That's a whole other topic, and I say specifically, isn't it wonderful to be free of that negative voice? I call it negative ego. And as a coach, that's what I'm helping people to do. You can do it. You do have to. There are a couple steps to take. And if your crowd wants to hear more about that, I'll do another segment with you sometime.
Oh, that'd be great. Well, Maria's message of healing and transformation through communication with higher self, spirit guides, and her energy healing, all that is right in line with prior guests we've had on our program, and with a general theme of middle age can be your best age, but you have to take the steps to get there. And if you're still skeptical, I highly suggest you go to Maria's website, that's mariadanley.com, as she said, and also catch her internet radio program, Legendary Leaders, and you just might discover an exciting new method to positively transform your life. And thank you so much, Maria, for joining us, and best of success in all your ventures.
Thank you, Roy.
And I think I'll sign off now and head for the tropics. I'm going to go to that.
Please come to the tropics.
www.yourtropicvacation.com. And maybe I'll see all of you out there at this, on the same vacation. But if you go, be sure you return for next week's installment of Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age. And so long for now.
You've been listening to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, hosted by Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of both A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, and Wake Up, Captain and Crew, Restart Your Engines. You can learn more about Roy and his Middle Age Renewal Training System by visiting his website, middleagerenewal.com.